Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Praj Industries Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you and good afternoon, everyone. Very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Praj Industries Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call to discuss the first quarter of financial year 2026 performance. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Ashish Gaikwad, Managing Director, and Mr. Sachin Raole, Chief Financial Officer and Director of Resources. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Sachin Raole to start with his opening remarks. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anuj. Good day, everyone. I welcome you to Praj Industries earnings call for quarter 1 FY26. Trust all of you had the opportunity to go through our results for the quarter ended 30th June 2025. The consolidated income from operations stood at Rs. 6.4 billion in Q1 FY26 as compared to 6.99 billion in QY FY25. PBT before exceptional items for the quarter stood at Rs. 96.09 million as compared to 788.8 million in the corresponding period of the last year. Profit after tax stood at Rs. 53.4 million in Q1 FY26. As compared to 841 million in Q1 FY25. Of the total revenue, 60% is from bioenergy, 28% from the engineering and 12% is from PHS business. Export revenues accounted for 39% of Q1 FY26. The order intake during the quarter was Rs. 7.95 billion with 55% from the domestic market. Of the total market intake, 80% came from bioenergy, 12% from engineering and balance 8% from PHS business. The order backlog as of 30th June 2025 is at Rs. 4.45 billion, comprising 62% of domestic orders. Cash in hand as on June 30th stood at Rs. 4.5 billion. Geopolitical scenario and uncertainty around US tariff has slowed down the capex-related decisions impacting the order booking. Customers in domestic market are facing liquidity challenges, resulting in delayed and extended project execution. Profit mainly impacted by drop in volume, increased site-related expenses because of delayed execution cycles, and Genex business expenses with no corresponding revenues, it has also affected the absorption of fixed cost. It is pertinent to note that there are no loss of orders or the loss of market share for Praj. Effective tax rate for Q1 FY26 in consolidated financials is 44%, because the deferred tax asset on the losses of Praj Genex is at lower rate as compared to the rate of tax for Praj Industries. In yesterday's AGM, shareholders have approved the payment of final dividend of 300% per share. With this, I now hand over to Ashish for his comments on the business performance and other updates.
Thank you, Sachin. Good day, everyone. Yesterday, on the occasion of World Biofuels Day, Praj introduced BioVerse. It's a movement to promote innovation, collaboration, and additional applications to further develop the Indian and international bioeconomy. I would like to go to the business updates now. First, on the domestic bioenergy business. As you know, India has achieved its EBP 20 target ahead of its scheduled target of 2025 end. The current installed capacity of ethanol production in the country now exceeds EBP 20 requirement. The discussions are ongoing regarding additional blending mandates. The industry is anticipating a firm announcement on the same. The excess installed capacity has led to temporary slowdown in conversion of new inquiries into firm orders and new greenfield ethanol plants. We believe this short-term situation will improve once the government announces its plans to increase in ethanol blending. Introduction of flex fuel vehicles and engines will also give new impetus. As mentioned by Sachin, despite slow orders, our market share at Praj is intact. Government of Maharashtra has made an announcement of Vikasit Maharashtra 2047. This is a positive development. It talks of bioenergy policy that promises 28,000 crores in investments over the next 5 years in various products derived from sugarcane. While we are witnessing slowness in inquiries of greenfield plants, we are focusing on offering plant modifications as well as solutions as co-products such as distillers corn oil or DCO, rice proteins, etc. These are gaining increasing interest from the existing ethanol producers. On the existing projects and on the execution front, liquidity challenges are resulting in extended execution cycles. In few cases, we are witnessing delays in site preparedness and pre-commissioning readiness due to the lack of funds. Moving on to the international bioenergy business. Despite good inquiry basket from America, there are some delays in order bookings. Some of these are due to the tariff-related developments. There is now a clarity on 45Z policy, which is a tax credits policy, contained in the new Big Beautiful Bill. It is an encouraging development for us. However, the uncertainty regarding tariffs may act as a headwind. CBG business. There is a healthy pipeline of inquiries for projects in CBG. The success of our press mud-based CBG plant is well accepted by the customers. New opportunities based on Napier grass as the feedstock are also developing. The decision-making is delayed in some cases due to financial challenges. We have a unique offering of combined CBG and biobitumen plant. This unique offering from Praj improves the project ROI and payback period. We have initiated discussions with customers regarding the addition of biobitumen modules. Since it is significantly improve the viability of the CBG plants, we are witnessing increasing traction. As mentioned in the last quarter, we have signed a term sheet with BPCL for developing 10 CBG projects. We are in the process of finalizing the JV agreement. Services business. This business is continuing its journey on a healthy growth path with a good performance. Apart from our performance enhancer solutions, we also have a healthy inquiry pipeline for biogenic CO2 capture solutions. On the SAF business front, we have received an order for detailed engineering for commercial-sized SAF plant in the USA. This is for a detailed feed engineering package. This is going to help us in capability development in ethanol-to-jet projects. On the policy front, UP government is expected to come up with Sustainable Aviation Fuel Manufacturing Promotion Policy 2025. This is aiming to establish the state as a leading hub for SAF production in India. In one more SAF-related development, Praj has entered into a partnership with IATA and ISMA to advance SAF carbon assessment and certification in India. This collaboration aims to conduct a comprehensive life cycle assessment, or LCA, of SAF produced from Indian sugarcane feedstock using the ethanol to jet pathway. The goal is to determine an accurate carbon intensity number for SAS and establish a certification methodology suited to the Indian context, aligning with the international standards. Moving on to the engineering businesses. On GenX front, tariff uncertainty and the reduced prioritization of energy transition projects has affected order booking. Several projects are either delayed or on hold. The fixed cost at GenX facility coupled with limited revenue activity has negatively impacted our bottom line. We are closely monitoring developments on the U.S. tariff front. We expect to be in a better position to comment on its long-term impact on the energy transition and the climate action business by next quarter. Expanding application of modularization across industries and the geographies is going to be the driver for capacity utilization of our GenX facility. On HPS front, on PHS front, we have a good pipeline for our solutions for segments of high capacity fermenters, complex injectables, and blood plasma. We are also exploring opportunities in emerging sectors like batteries, solar cells, and semiconductors. On bioplastics front, we have now started discussing our offerings with potential customers, and the inquiry pipeline is building up. Overall, despite challenging business environment, our core fundamentals are strong, our growth vectors are intact, and therefore, we remain committed to our long-term growth vision. I now conclude my remarks, and I would like to thank all of you for joining our call today. We would now be ready to discuss any questions, comments, or suggestions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. And my first question is on the domestic execution.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir.
Yeah.
Your voice is very low. Can you
please
use your handset? Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Please go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. So thanks for the opportunity. My question is on the domestic execution. It's pretty slow in the current quarter. I think it's around 3.9 billion or 390 crore versus 530 crore in the base quarter. Do you think things will improve in the next couple of quarters, or is going to be a very, very delayed recovery? And is the lack of blending mandate, also impacting the execution?
Sorry, Mohit, it was a little difficult to understand your question. Are you basically interested in understanding what is the scenario in the domestic ethanol market?
Yeah, why is it not picking up?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right, Mohit. So, certainly, we need some impetus in the current domestic market, as we mentioned. We would like to see a new additional blending mandate, which is probably being discussed now, and of course that will give us more traction as far as the new capacities for the ethanol plants is concerned. Apart from that, we are also looking at other opportunities that can come up. One of them I talked about recently is on SAF, the sustainable aviation fuel, and the pathway that takes ethanol to SAF. So that's the other set of opportunities that we would be looking at. And the third one is also an opportunity that we are excited about, which is diesel. Today, diesel is not being blended by any alcohol. And if we get that mandate for blending in diesel as well, then that will give us a pathway to increase the alcohol production in India. All of these will positively impact our order bookings. They probably may not happen in the very immediate future or this quarter, but over a period of time, certainly this is a positive trend.
And Mohit, if I may add to your question related to the prospects for ethanol in the domestic market, there are two ways of looking at this entire scenario. One is completely based on what is going to happen on the mandates. What if there are mandates, then what Ashish was describing is going to happen. Rather, there are a couple of more things which have happened. Yesterday we witnessed on the World Biofuel Day, witnessing unveiling of ethanol-based mobile gensets and next-gen flex-fuel vehicles for both two-wheeler and four-wheeler. It will also facilitate additional demand for ethanol in near future. So that's one element based on what is going to happen to the ethanol demand. Another element from our offerings point of view, flex, assume there is no additional blending mandates coming up in the near future. We have a solutions of advanced technology and customized services for our customers for enhancing their capacities or their yields or their performances, which is very healthy business. Might not be top-line accretive, but we'll add to our bottom line. And in addition to that, we have started our services business in a small way in the last couple of years, but it is taking a very big shift now, especially providing the performance enhancers to our customers, providing the services other in addition to operations and maintenance. So there is a big bouquet or big basket of services which are also getting provided to our customers. So that's an additional element for the domestic market, which will add on irrespective of whatever is going to happen to our blending mandates.
Understood, sir. My second question on CBG. Of course, you're executing a very large order of CBG of around 500 crore. How has been the experience and how do you see the finalization of new tenders in the near term?
Okay. So, Mohit, on CBG, I think the industry has been learning over the last few years. And that learning has now, at least for Praj, resulted into doing these projects with much more efficiency and much more standardization. Especially for the press mud, which is a feedstock for CBG, we now have three successful projects which are producing CBG at capacity, and that is certainly a good news. There are more inquiries coming up, especially there is an interest in a feedstock like napier grass, and we are working on our proposals and working with the customers to see how we can take a fair share of that market as well. Overall, it is still a developing market, CBG, and it will take some time for it to become extremely stable. And we are engaged with that market, so we will keep you posted.
Yeah, thank you, best of luck. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference call, please strictly limit your question to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Atul Tiwari from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. So my question is on order inflow. So if the extension of this blending mandate had not come beyond 20%, say for this year, can we still maintain about 800 odd crore rupees of quarterly order inflow run rate, or do you expect it to slip further from here?
Yeah, good question, Atul. You have seen that our current order booking is in that range, what you mentioned. We, of course, aim higher, based on the inquiry pipeline that we see, but the decisions can sometimes get a bit delayed. So, that's what I can say at this point in time, that it is fair to assume that type of a run rate.
So, Atul, just to add on, while answering a question of Mohit, I was very specifically saying that if there is no additional blending mandates, maybe our top-line growth will not be there to that extent. Indirectly, that means there will not be a run rate of domestic order book in that zone which we are discussing right now, because naturally there will be very few greenfield orders coming up in the picture in that case. But there will be other opportunities which are available to us in the form of advanced technologies, which may not add on to our top line, but that will add on to our bottom line. So you may not see the numbers on top line, but you will see a number on bottom line.
Okay, sir. And on your margins, you know, in this quarter, we have seen like at EBITDA level 4.9%.
Yes.
And as far as I can see, you know, it is probably the lowest over past, you know, at least 15-16 quarter. So in this kind of environment, I mean, assuming that the mandate is not extended and beyond 20% and the tariff-related uncertainties continue for some more time, is this the new normal, or the new normal is more like 8-9% or even the double digit?
So from the margin point of view, yes, you're right. This quarter happens to be the lowest one, mainly on two accounts. There will be minor couple of more, but major two, we have seen a drop in top line by almost 220 crores as compared to March quarter, which has contributed heavily on not having the margins, because the fixed costs to that extent are not getting recovered. One, two, the subsidiary of our Genix facility, which is completely operational, completely functioning, but not correspondingly generating revenue at this point of time. That is second one. And third one, in the other expenses, we have seen some kind of spike in the site-related expenses because of couple of sites where the work was continuing. We had some challenges on getting the labor for those particular sites, which actually added into our cost. So that's the another reason. Whether this is a new normal or new normal is going to be different, according to us, yes, new normal is going to be completely different. This is like an aberration in this quarter, which we have seen. That top line dropping to this and this extent, cost going up to whatever extent which I mentioned, we are not expecting this situation to continue definitely. Some pains might continue till quarter two, but from quarter three, from H2 onwards, we are not expecting this situation to continue. So the new normal which you are expecting, that can we be in a little larger single digit EBITDA margin, I think that's what we will be looking at going forward.
Okay, sir. And sir, on Genex...
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. Can we request you to end the question queue? Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Sabharwal from ASK Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Gaikwad. So I've been tracking the company for, I think, almost 25 years. In the last few years, there have been several growth opportunities which the company has talked of, which were supposed to become big, starting with the 2G ethanol to PBG to SAF to bioplastics, etc. But all of these largely seem to be remaining on paper, and the company seems to be the company's shareholders seems to be working for the employees of the company. Like, the salary to turnover ratio of your company is extraordinary. So you have set up a huge new facility. Which is not executing anything. I haven't seen any company ever do such kind of thing. So what are shareholders supposed to expect from it? If you actually go and listen to your company transcripts when you were not there, conference call transcripts, last 4-5 transcripts, this sort of decline in turnover and the challenges you are talking of, these were never talked of earlier.
Yeah. So first of all, Mr. Sabharwal, you tracking our company for 25 years certainly is a good thing, and I appreciate your comments that you have given. See, we are also a technology company. You know, we develop a technology. We develop that in the field of the bioeconomy, and it is a developing economy. So there are, you know, timelines which are extended. You talked about 2G, CBG, SAF, and also bioplastics. 2G, for example, our technology is now working as far as 2G plants are concerned, and we are quite hopeful, and we are working towards making our first 2G plant to be operational by end of the year. Right? So I think that will build more confidence, and there are two more projects that will follow, which are already being executed by Praj after this first one that I talked about. So there is a timeline we have in mind, and technologies like 2G, we are quite excited to really make them successful. Bioplastics is the same thing. You know, it is driven by a little bit of regulation side as well. But, you know, we believe that these trends are correct, and these are difficult technologies to work with. Raj has always done difficult things. Even ethanol, when you see, you know, several years ago, when Praj was talking about ethanol, nobody else was talking about it. And now you clearly see the success of, you know, the way ethanol is being being blended in gasoline, ethanol to jet as the pathways, etc. So patient space, and especially in the technology field that we operate in, there is a definite, you know, reward to the patients.
I don't think you covered the aspects which I talked of, but in any case, now Mr. Chaudhary came out with a vision 2030, where he said that you are looking to triple turnover and I think grow profits by some levels, which I don't remember now. And immediately after that, the growth of the company has started declining. So can you just comment on that? What are the assumptions which went into giving that vision 2030, and how you are going to achieve it?
Certainly. So first of all, the vision that was set by our chairman, Dr. Pramod Chaudhary, we still are very much committed to delivering that vision 2030. And the reasons for that, Mr. Sabharwal, are pretty well known. The reasons for that are the fundamentals, the core fundamentals are still the same. Our growth vectors, which I will quickly touch upon, are also intact. And therefore, while we see some of these, you know, hurdles like the tariff that we talked about, or some of the slowing down of the domestic ethanol greenfield demand, etc., you know, those will be overcome when we are looking at a five-year period. The growth vectors that we are still quite gung-ho about is, number one, we believe that ethanol will have more pathways, for sure, right? And I touched upon a couple of them already. We also believe that CBG as a market will develop, and we will have a fair share in CBG. Number three, in our growth aspirations, we are internationalizing our offerings and our services, and certainly, you know, we will have opportunities to grow it beyond the borders of India. Bioplastics also, you know, although it has moved slowly, but it will have the market opportunities developing. We can see those opportunities developing as well. So when you look at the growth vectors that we are talking about, both in the biofuel side and the renewable chemicals and materials side, which is how our portfolio is balanced, those are going to take off. On the equipment and the modularization side, we've had this slowness, which Sachin mentioned, but we will explore new opportunities in new industries as well as new geographies, so that we are able to better utilize our GenX facility. So I hope some of your, you know, points that you raised, which are valid points, some of those are addressed by my answer.
So thank you. Just one observation, because I've covered
so
my two questions.
Your
company, when it was much smaller, used to have margins in the late teens or early 20s, if you go back into history. And as it's become bigger and bigger, the margins have actually declined, whereas it should work the other way. So I hope that you take initiatives under your guidance, as you have just taken over, to improve the profitability of the business.
Certainly, sir. I think profit remains one of the top focus areas for us. And as you mentioned, you know, we will certainly take actions so that we can maintain a certain level of bottom line.
Thank you, sir. The next question question is from the line of Shiv Kumar Prajapati from Ambit Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for having my question. So my first question is, in the presentation, we have highlighted that the current capacity is, you know, exceeds the EB, like ethanol blending rate of 20%. So just want to understand, is the capacity marginally extra, or is it something like that can serve up to, you know, 25% of blending rate? And if possible, would you be able to share the split between the greenfield versus the brownfield part for the ethanol order book, and what part of, you know, overall ethanol production is being made from sugar cane, rice, or say any other grain?
Okay. So the composition of sugar and grain is more or less reaching to 50-50 kind of a proportion from the production point of view. Is the current capacity good enough to take care of 25%? Bigger question mark, because there are so many regional imbalances still there, and because of which this extra capacity looks like to be an extra capacity, but that extra capacity, so-called, will not be in a position to take care of additional blending mandates. Even if it happens to be 20-23%, we will immediately see the capacity requirement coming up from all the corners. So we don't think that existing capacity will be able to take care of the additional requirement, because there are multiple factors which plays a role in the installed capacity and the utilized capacity, and that too region by region. So I don't think that we will see that kind of a scenario. What was the other component of your question?
Sir, the order book split for ethanol between greenfield versus brownfield.
Yeah. So right now, we have majority of our order book is coming from greenfield. There is a small component of brownfield, and then brownfield, what I was earlier referring to from the advanced technology kind of a scenario, where people are looking for capacity tweaking or shift of adding the new line in their existing sugar line with the grain line, or the yield improvement. So maybe 80% will be greenfield, 20% will be brownfield, more or less.
Great, sir. And so my next question is on Genex. So far, Genex has contributed around 20 crores of, you know, top line. So what's the overall expected contribution from this segment, given there's no contribution in Q1 so far? And if you can provide any further updates on, you know, new audits that has been conducted and any new long-term contract that has been signed, because I think 8 audits have been done and 3 contracts has been signed. And if you could also highlight the order book that we'll be able to execute in the remaining 9 months of this year, given we have 4,500 crores of outstanding order book.
Okay. So in the Genex, it's a very peculiar situation in Genex. Let me first tell you that we also added 2 more framework agreement during this quarter for the Genex, which are basically based on the new client's inspection of our facility and then signing this framework agreement. So that's a positive news on that front. On the overall opportunity which we are looking for from the Genex in the next year's point of view, we have more than 1,000 crores from proposals sitting with our customers, where the decision making is yet to happen. In the last call, we had mentioned that we are working on RFQs, that is requests for quotations, which we had submitted to our customers as a firm commitment, and those we are waiting for finalization. The trickiest part of this 1,000 crore is that almost 70% are for the U.S. customers and 30% are for non-U.S. customers. Rather, majority of them for U.S. customers, but the export is supposedly to happen to U.S. to the extent of 70%. 30% is supposedly to happen to the European region. So that's the mix of what I can say firm commitments which are sitting in the market from our side. What we had to see how this current scenario towards the tariff and the uncertainty towards that, which is delaying the decision making for my customers, how it is going to span out over a period of next couple of quarters. And that is what is going to decide to what extent out of this 1,000 crore is going to get materialized in the order booking for us. But that's one segment. Is that the only segment which we are concentrating on? That's not the case. Currently, we are working on multiple other requirements of the requisitions from other regions too. if you look at GenX facility, is not meant for a set of customers. It is actually a modularization facility which can cater to different industries too. So our focus is now looking at what is which has just recently happened in the month of August, especially in the form of tariff. We are working out the alternatives to utilize this capacity. Maybe it will take a quarter more time for finalization of the entire new regions or new industries for us, but that's the work which is going on. It is a little premature to answer the question whether what will be the order booking for GenX at this point of time, for a simple reason, because that additional 25% tariff is supposedly to kick in from what, 28th of August. So we'll have to wait and watch for some more time to find out how this entire scenario is going to play out for us.
All right, sir. My next question is on export trend.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. May we request?
Please, can you allow me this last question? Please.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. So basically, it is on export opportunities. We will exclude the U.S. tariff impact. I just want to understand, currently U.S. contributes around less than 10% of to our revenue. So post this approval of, 45Z and 45Q announcement, what opportunity size do we look in U.S.? And in last year, same quarter, you have highlighted that we had the opportunity to convert 20 plants to low-carbon ethanol plant. So is there any update on this? And plus, the Brazil has also, raised their mandates from 27% to 30% for gasoline, whereas for biodiesel, it has been raised to 15% from 14%. So just want to understand how much does Brazil contribute to us and the opportunities after this mandate update from Brazil.
Okay, I will try to answer this question little in short because there is a long queue of questions which are standing in the line. So answer is very simple. For US, 45Z, rather this was a mixed bag for us. 45Z is very positive development because it's an extension of the credits which are supposedly to be available from 2027 to 2029. That's one positive. Second thing, there is a complete clarity how the credit is to be given to our customers. So that's another positive for which we were waiting actually for last two and a half years. So these are very, very positive development on the low carbon ethanol and credits available under 45Z. Only the downside, which is coming up in the form of this 25% plus 25% tariff at this point of time. And that may delay some decision-making till we have a clarity. And what I answered in my earlier question, in your earlier question, that tariff is going to get some kind of a clarity in a clarity zone by end of August. I think that will tell us what is going to happen on the opportunity which is available to us on the 45Z. Second question is related to Brazil. Brazil, we believe that there is a increased blending mandate which will definitely open an opportunity for us in the Brazil market. But again, we'll have to see, it is not only India and Brazil, there is US again sitting between Brazil and US. What is going to happen from the export of ethanol from Brazil to US, which is a very common factor? What will be impact on their export because of their tariff, because they are also in a very large kind of a tariff number, and what kind of a capacity expansion they will be looking at. That's, again, we'll have to wait and watch. So there is a very minuscule, maybe 10% to 15% kind of an impact, as you rightly said, from the US, direct US business of ours. But there are many factors which will indirectly affect us because of this kind of a scenario. So we'll have to wait and watch on this front, at least for a month, till we see what happens on the balance 25% tariff. Yeah.
All right, sir. Thank you so much and best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Amit Anwani from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My question pertains to, again, the GenX facility, where you then highlighted the peculiar situation which is currently there. Just wanted to understand, basis prior comments that we would be winning few orders and then the execution can happen in H2. So now is that situation there? And second thing is, you talked about geographical diversification and some other diversification for GenX. So in the event of 50% tariff, are we also exploring the option that since this was 100% export-oriented unit, we'll be looking for domestic orders. And which other industry diversification you're talking about, if you could explain in more detail about the Genex facility in the event of tariffs.
Okay, maybe I can take that question, Amit. Thank you for your question. Yeah, first of all, we are right now heavily sort of weighing on the U.S. tariffs, and that's why it is important to say that the facility, which Sachin also mentioned earlier, is not just only for USA. It is certified and getting certified for multiple geographies as well. And the customer base that we are trying to target is in the U.S., but also outside of the U.S. Secondly, we would like to have a proper analysis of the other markets other than U.S., so that we will be able to, in the next call, give you more qualified answer based on our study that we are doing. Because naturally, like us, many other companies are also struggling with these tariffs, and we will have to find new geographies to start working on. The third thing that you wanted to know was about new industries. So firstly, we were focusing in the last couple of years when there was a lot of discussion around the energy transition and climate action type of projects. They were mostly green hydrogen or blue hydrogen or green ammonia oriented. And somehow those projects are either slowed down or on hold. And therefore the other industries which can be certainly looked at, and the facility at Genex allows us to manufacture these modules or equipment for them, will be the non-ETCA or non-energy transition and non-climate action type of industries, and those are the ones that we would be exploring. As far as the geographies are concerned, we are looking at the Latin American geography where we already have presence, and of course Europe and the UK as well.
Right, so second second question, sir, you talked about the liquidity challenges faced by our customers, and I'm assuming this is we're working with sugar and then grain based plants. So why is this arising, and are we sensing any impact on our working capital? Is this challenges for the current order book, and then what is the exposure of current order book where we are facing liquidity challenges from the customer? And second, since now 1G has kind of dried up, we at the peak used to get about 3,000 crore order intake typically from 1G. Are we expecting less than 1,000 crore since there's no orders, and even EBP further mandates will take a lot of time to materialize because of different challenges? So more clarity on these points.
So I mean, your first question related to working capital, I must accept and admit that yes, there is some kind of a strain. We have seen to some extent accumulation of inventory and receivables in this quarter, but not alarming. Rather, that was the main reason when we took a decision that we don't want to keep on dispatching the goods to our customers without having cash on table. That's what has actually has affected the revenue coming down from last quarters of 860 to 640 of this quarter. So that was a very conscious call which we took, that if we are not seeing the money on the table, we will not continue with dispatches of the goods. Let's understand what this liquidity problem is. All our customers technically have sanctioned loans from their banks. It is not that they don't have money in that sense, but they have a sanctioned loan. So there are, these cases are completely backed by financing. The problem which my customers are facing is very simple. As you know, Amit, that we generally do 40% or maximum 50% of the entire greenfield project of any of our customer. So let's assume a project size is 100 crores and I'm doing a project of, my component is 40 crores. The sanctioning of a loan is for the entire 100 crores. What bankers are saying that we would like to see the development happening on the project across the project and not only what Praj is doing. And if there are any delays in other vendors' work which they are supposed to carry on, or the civil work which my customer is supposedly to take care of, is affecting the disbursement of loan for my customer. And that's the reason why we are working with them. We are helping them to figure it out how they can move forward so that our components can also get dispatched. That is what has impacted from the execution cycle point of view, what we had mentioned in our opening remarks, that the execution cycle time is getting elongated because of that. But your question is right. We have seen some kind of a strain on the inventory being getting piled up because of the dispatches were not happening, but that is a running inventory, so we are not worried on inventory. And we didn't allow our receivables to go completely out of our hands, and we are working with our customers for recovery of that money too. Sorry, Amit, what was the second part of your question?
The second part was on the, since 1G orders, we are clocking 3,000 crore FY 23, 24, 25, and since there would be absence of 1G orders, are we seeing order intake drastically declining on 1G front? Since you said there would be only service orders, and I'm assuming that the non-ethanol based or non-EBB 20 based order would be maybe 200-300 crore more liters.
Understood. So I may not be able to exactly give what that number is going to be, whether it is going to be less or more, but we are only right now talking about domestic ethanol. We are also working in other geographies. US happens to be one of that. But other geographies which Ashish was mentioning, especially in the Latin American market, rather this quarter we got a big order from the Latin American market in the international segment. So we are looking at not only domestic market, but we are looking at international market. Rather, let me put it in another way. We are not only looking at US and India, we are looking at other geographies where a lot is happening because those countries are looking for increased mandates also. So there is a possibility of, I may not be able to comment whether it is going to be 3,000 crores or 2,000 or 4,000, but there will not be a drop to that extent when which you are looking at. I don't think that is the scenario which we are aiming for. We will not be getting into that kind of a zone. Only the composition of my bioenergy basket may change. Yes, there might be some drop in domestic, but we'll get compensated from some other basket. That's what we are looking at.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much for answering. Thanks.
Thank you, Amit.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Shivani from Monarch Networth Capital Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, Shivani.
Yeah, hi. Most of my question is already taken up, but a quick one. One is that we've already talked about bioenergy and engineering, but can you give me a sense of what we are doing in the value-added area, when we can see revenue realization kicking in? So that's my first question. And second question is on diesel-ethanol blending. So although we have been hearing about it for a long time, but what is the scenario on ground, if you can give us some sense?
Sure. Thanks, Shivani, for the question. The first one is on the value-added products or co-products, as we call them. What we are trying to do here as a technology company is to see an existing asset and get more and more out of that asset. So therefore, we have add-on modules to an existing plant. For example, if you have a corn-based ethanol plant, we can provide what is called as a distiller's corn oil module, DCO, as we call it, and therefore the producer can get an extra income by producing that distiller's corn oil, which then gets into various applications, one of them being the input for biodiesel. Right. So also there is something called as rice protein. So if you have an ethanol plant that is working on rice as a feedstock, then we are able to extract a good quantity of protein from that, which is human edible and also something which is very beneficial. So there are multiple such add-ons that we are working on, which will help the existing assets and get more return from those assets. So that's the first part of your question. The second part of your question...
If I can... So if I can intervene, can you also talk about the biobitumen and bioplastic bit, because we have been doing capex for that, and when we can see the revenue realization coming in for that? I understand most of it is also in the R&D phase, but some visibility or some commentary on that?
Sure, Shivani. So for biobitumen comes from our CBG plants right now. And therefore, you know, this is a unique offering that Praj is developing, where we are able to give a combined offering of production of CBG as well as biobitumen, which enhances the return on investment and also reduces the payback period for the CBG plant investors. And this is something that we want to take to our customers as a differentiator from Praj. That also is a value-added product, the biobitumen. And its use, as you know, is in the highways and the road building. We can blend up to 10 to 15% of biobitumen into the fossil-based bitumen. That also helps in reducing the import of bitumen in India. So it is a good product, it's a good offering, and we would like to promote it more as we go forward. Bioplastics also, it was a developing technology in the past, but now we have a collaboration with Uday, who is a part of ThyssenKrupp company, and with that collaboration between Praj and ThyssenKrupp, we are able to give a complete end-to-end facility for what we call as PLA, which stands for polylactic acid. And this is a polymer, which is a bioplastic, which is biodegradable. It can be industrially, sort of degraded, or composting is possible. And that is available right now as a technology. We are making firm offers to some of the customers as we speak. And we are hopeful that, you know, this is the market that will develop going forward.
Sure. Thank you. And on the next question on diesel ethanol blending?
On the diesel blending, an update you wanted. Yes, we also believe, just like in case of gasoline or petrol, we are able to blend alcohol, and that is a very successful program in India, as you know. It is completed before its stipulated time period. We believe that diesel can also have a similar blending mandate. We can blend alcohol into diesel, and as you know, the diesel usage in India is 2.5 to 3 times more compared to petrol. So that's another pathway for our type of technology which produces alcohol that can give a blending into the diesel, which is a drop-in fuel, as we call it. There is no necessity to do anything else. It just blends into the diesel, and therefore it can be used without any problems in the diesel engines. The other thing I would like to mention here is, while EVs can be popular, electric vehicles, they are for short distances. But the diesel engines, which are used in trucks for long distance freight forwarding, you don't have a very good alternative for as EV. And therefore, blending such as what I'm talking about, the alcohol blending in diesel, can be really helpful for our nation to reduce pollution, as well as to find an alternative to the fossil diesel.
Sure. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. The next question is from the line of Vikram Suryavanshi from Philip Capital India. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Just wanted to check on this multi-feed distillery opportunities for sugar companies, given their crushing days have come down. How is that panning out? Should I ask another question or?
Yeah, you can go ahead, Vikram. You can ask your second question.
Okay. And in terms of opportunities with the new raw materials which are evolving, how is that coming from the bamboo as an opportunity, and will it be scalable, and how much time it will take, you can address? I think these are the two questions.
Okay. So, on the first question, the states across India are stepping up the support for the bioenergy sector, as you know. And you've seen that in Maharashtra, there is a new biofuel and bioenergy policy that is expected to attract approximately 28,000 crores over the next 5 years, right? So there is an impetus being given with this policy here. The state is offering incentives such as capital subsidies, as you know, interest subvention, 100% GST refund as far as the state GST is concerned, and waivers on electricity and stamp duty as well. So cooperative mills will also benefit from this equity support, and with provisions for the PPP and the BOOT models, the build, own, operate and transfer models, this will encourage some private investment is what we are expecting right now. Does that answer your question?
Yes, and just you can highlight further on this multi-feed distillery capex from the sugar companies, how it is shaping.
So, Vikram, just to answer that question, people are looking at it. They are very, what I can say, very much interested into it. But we have not yet seen a very meaningful kind of a order booking building out of that. But when that opportunity is definitely finding some kind of an attraction for the sugar mill for adding that additional, what I can say, line for grain too. So we are actually discussing with our set of customers. We are holding the seminars and educating them to let them know what benefits they can derive by having this additional line. So it's right now more of a development kind of a stage, has to yet to result into some kind of a concrete numbers for us.
Okay, understood. And another question was on how is the opportunity coming for the bamboo.
Sorry, Vikram, your question was related to bamboo. Yes, right now, everyone is talking about it, that we can use the, what I can say, the excess land which is available for cultivating bamboo for converting it into ethanol. Actually, it's a movement. We'll have to see how this movement catches up and how the development can happen. I can just assure you from the Praj point of view that from a technology side, yes, we are ready to offer those kind of a solutions. And we will see how the opportunity develops under this segment.
Got it. And just one clarification I did. Should I go ahead?
Yeah, go ahead, Vikram. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. This diesel blending, what we are talking as, we are primarily looking as a opportunity with the ethanol with the binder or isobutanol?
Yeah, I think it's a good question, Vikram. Thanks for asking. We believe that with a binder, etc., it could get even more complicated. So we, given a choice, we would say that we should have a material that will easily blend and is a drop-in fuel, as we call it. And that is isobutanol at this point in time. So we are doing some experiments with different agencies who can certify it, and the test results are really encouraging, but more we will share with you as we go forward.
Thanks for clarification. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you, Vikramji.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you very much. So when you mentioned about advanced technology being a profit generator, can you mention some indication of what will be the scale of profit you can do for the next 1 or 2 years, or what percentage of your earnings will come from that, because your turnover may not improve much. Can you give us some sense on that?
Sure. I think what Sachin already covered in the previous answers was that while the current quarter looks extremely challenging, the one that you see the numbers for, but our aim is to go for, high single-digit, EBITDA percentages. I think that is what we are working on. There is much more action behind it, but if you have to just look at what is it that we are going towards, it is that single-digit high percentage of EBITDA. That's where we are aiming for.
I understand that, but when you mentioned advanced technology, you said it will add to the bottom line. So it will be difficult for us to estimate EBITDA, if you can't get a sense on the top line. So if you can give us a broad indication of what will be the bottom line you can expect in value or percentage of your earnings for 1 or 2 years?
It will be difficult to give an exact, you know, percentage, but like I said, it is the high single digit percentages at EBITDA that we are looking at.
Okay, so in terms of your order details you are given, in terms of the current order book and order inflow, what is the kind of, you know, order book and order inflow we should expect, say, by the end of FY26, assuming, you know, some progress in the execution of the orders over the next 3 quarters?
So, Ramesh, we generally don't give any kind of a specific guidance. We basically tell you the scenario, how it is building up and how we are working on that. Unfortunately, we don't give a number saying that, oh, we will do X crores of rupees on order book and Y crores of rupees on EBITDA. Extremely sorry, we don't have a policy of giving that kind of a guidance. Please excuse us on that.
No, the only reason I ask is you see the last 3 years financial is kind of, you know, being flat compared to the growth you saw in FY23. So structurally, you know, I know you're going through some challenges. So when do you actually see the growth momentum recover in terms of all the three segments? And if you see some additional traction in the high purity chemical segment where there is an increase in the share of your overall you know, order inflow. So where do you see, at what point in time can we expect, you know, some kind of growth momentum to come back? No?
Okay. So, Ramesh, your question is valid. And let me just tell you why we came out with 2030 kind of a vision picture in almost 2023. So seven years kind of a gap which we were looking at from 23 to 2030. That was mainly based on what kind of a qualitative changes or the structural shifts which we are going to see in our businesses. Initially, we were only looking at ethanol, and we said that no, it's not going to be ethanol, but there will be something more which is going to happen over a period of time. And as Ashish mentioned earlier, we are absolutely intact with those kind of targeted numbers for us for 2030. Complexion may change here and there because the business models are also going to undergo a complete change over a period of time depending on how the market is going to react to our offerings. Having said that, the growth not necessarily is going to be in a linear form. It will have its own challenges, and exactly those challenges we are seeing at this point of time. But we are confident that we will be able to add on to other avenues of growth, irrespective of all these current changes which we are seeing at this point of time. So we are aware about those challenges, we are working on that, and we will see that these growth vectors comes into the picture the way in which I had already said. That's what I can say at this point of time, Ramesh, instead of giving you some kind of a numbers kind of a thing. How the entire game is going to get played out over FY26.
Yeah, appreciate it and wish you all the best. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ramesh.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Shailesh Kanani from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity. Is my voice audible?
Yes, Shailesh.
Yeah. So just one clarification. This is the first time where we are saying that it may happen that EVP program would not get extended beyond 20%, right? We are talking about services or product enhancements, product plant enhancements. So is there any pushback from the government side? Yeah.
Sorry, Shailesh. We are not saying that there is no movement. We are saying that two extreme scenarios. One extreme scenario, no movement at all. Yeah. Which is from the planning point of view. It is not from the planning. It is not from the policy point of view. We don't know because there is definitive talks which are going on for increasing the blending mandates. But whether it is going to happen today or tomorrow, and whether it is going to happen X percent or Y percent, we don't know. We are saying that do we have a plan B ready for if blending mandates doesn't happen? That's what we were saying. We were not commenting on whether there will be increase in blending or not.
Okay, so just wanted to clarify that because this is the first time I was hearing something on that front, because in the past, correct me if I'm wrong, our always commentary has been that the blending would not end at 20% and there is a roadmap ahead as well. So that news remains. There is no change in that.
No, there is no change in that view.
Okay, that's comforting. So second part, on the Bangalore facility, now there has been some delay for last few quarters. We have been discussing for various reasons, right? some of them are uncontrollables. So I just wanted to know from the management side, what are the controllables in the sense that how we can kind of control overheads over there, or any other measures, any other levers that we have, apart from what you mentioned in terms of exploring new products and geographies, the Mangalore facility?
Yeah. No, that's a fair question, Shailesh. So yes, of course, there are some controllables that we need to relook at. We'll have to relook at our order pipeline, right? Because some of these orders are there. We have made proposals. Sachin talked about 1,000 crore worth of proposals still in the play. But maybe some of these will get on hold or they will get delayed. So we, having analyzed that pipeline, we will have to look at our cost structure and we'll have to see where we can therefore put those controllables. And accordingly, we will try to readjust ourselves as far as our GenX business is concerned. That's the process that is going on right now. I will not be able to comment on that right away because that exercise is not yet completely done. The tariff scenario is just evolving. And as Sachin mentioned that, you know, depending on what happens during August, we will be in a better position to talk about it in our next conversation.
Fair enough. Just a clarification on that side. When we say 1,000 crores of firm orders, that means we have backed the orders, we are L1. What does it imply?
No. I said 1,000 crores of pipeline, which means the request for quotations had come to us. We've made proposals to our customers who have certified our facility, and now they will be evaluating different bids, including Praj's bids, and then there will be a success out of that. But some projects, because they were, oriented towards energy transition and climate action type of projects, those may get held up or those may get delayed.
Fair enough. So just last question from my side. Any CBG orders we have backed during the quarter or we are L1 for anything? And how is the industry position in terms of meeting the blending targets start kicking next year?
So on the CBG, if we are selected or L1 but not yet announced, I will not be able to comment on that because as you can appreciate that, I will not be able to divulge. We have not booked any firm order in the past quarter that we are talking about as far as CBG business is concerned. And what was your other question? Sorry, I forgot the other one.
Yeah, so how is the industry placed in terms of capacity to meet the blending mandates which are getting kicked from January 2026?
I think you're talking about CBG blending?
Yeah, CBG blending.
Yeah, I think the industry is hoping that it will go in that, step-wise approach of 1% to 5% in the steps of 1% each year. And industry is getting geared up for it, both in terms of infrastructure as well as the plants. So, and we are also aligned to that.
So my question was, is the pipeline kind of robust? Is the pipeline building up? Or there is...
The pipeline is... Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, but yeah, I think a short answer to your question would be yes, the pipeline is building up and it is looking good.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir, and best of luck, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. The next question is from the line of Aditya Mongia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I hope I'm audible to you all.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I think two parts to the first question. Both the EBP 20 program and how it picks up from here, on what issues is it getting stuck? And again, part B of this question, more linked to the bio-CNG kind of practices. We've seen certain customers, your peers, getting orders most likely at higher pricing / costing in earlier, which suggests that the ROI is fairly decent for the developer as such. Where is then in that case bio-CNG stuck? So yeah, two things which are stuck for now and what aspects are they stuck from a scale-up perspective?
Okay, I'll try to address that, Aditya. Thanks for your question. The first one was on EBP 20 and what is coming in the way. That was your question, right?
Yes, so expand it from that number. Is it a feedstock issue? Is it a mileage issue? Where is it stuck at this point of time in a discussion with the government?
No, I think maybe I need to recalibrate this. There is no problem with EBP 20, which is 20% blending into gasoline or petrol, right? There is no problem there. In fact, India achieved this target way ahead of
I'm talking about a further target than 20.
As far as we are concerned, and we are going by the science experiments and everything else that we have the data for, there is no technical or any other problem as far as the higher blending of another 7% to 10% that can be added. In fact, the vehicles and the engines that they come up with nowadays is able to take that fuel, which is a blended fuel, up to 30% of ethanol. That's what is my information. So there is no technical challenge at all. It's a question of how the policy comes out and how the additional blending mandates are announced by the government. And that was the other point that you had, sorry. Feedstock may also not be a constraint because, there is enough feedstock both in terms of grain as well as sugar cane that will be available to make enough ethanol to meet those mandates.
On the bio-CNG front, as in ROI is good for developers, at 80% CNG prices, X of any bio-metamine being factored inside, and still the scale-up not happening for the sector as such?
Well, I think the scale-up earlier was not happening, possibly because, many of the plants took time to reach the 100% capacity for which they were designed, but now there is a fair bit of success on that. I can speak for Praj, and like I said, Prismud plants have already reached and exceeded the capacities for what was the plant designed for. And we believe that for other feedstocks, the plants are yet to come, like Napier grass. There is plant yet fully commissioned. So I will not be able to comment it for those. But we at Praj are confident that we will be able to deliver those capacities. And the bio-bitumen part, that is the second part of your question, we believe that the ROI and the payback period will be even better when we combine the CBG and the bio-bitumen together. And that's what is a unique offering from Praj.
Understood. The second question from my side over here, I think somewhere there was a comment made on profitability meaningfully improving in the second half of the year. Any specific assumptions in certain sectors that are being taken when that kind of prognosis is being thought about at this point of time?
So, Aditya, the second half, we are seeing that the existing orders, which are taking some time in the execution cycle, they will continue to come into this execution period in any case. The execution will start happening on that. Some of the orders from the international market which we received in the March quarter and this quarter, they will start actually a full-fledged execution from the second half of this year. So these are the basic assumptions which we are considering from the improvement in profitability point of view. Of course, there are other factors, but these are the two major ones which I am right now highlighting, because we are looking at in some pockets some order booking to happen. We are executing some designing orders for our customers. Those will start giving the numbers from the bottom line point of view. So there are many factors which are going to start contributing from H2 onwards.
Thank you. I'll get back into the queue. Thank you.
Thank you, Aditya.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, due to interest of time, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to management from Praj Industries Limited for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. So thank you, everyone, for your time today. I'm sure there are many more questions, but the request you to write us at info@praj.net, and we will address your questions. Thanks again for your time, and we look forward to interacting with you very soon. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Praj Industries Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.